Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hello and welcome to Table Manners New York. We are...
Why don't you say Table Manners from New York?
Okay. Hello and welcome
to Table Manners from New York.
Do you prefer that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Nino, Nino.
We've been here a little while now.
3 days, darling.
Feels like a lifetime.
I feel like I've been here a month.
Do you feel like you're a prisoner of the kitchen?
I feel like I've been here a month. Yeah, I've not been out of the... Because I've been cooking.
Today we have an amazing jazz singer who I've loved for a good few years, and my husband is completely jealous that we've got him on the podcast and it's not in Dalston this time. His name is Gregory Porter, and he had this fantastic album that kind of, I guess the album that everyone kind of started to know him by was Liquid Spirit, but he's gone on to do Nat King Cole albums. He's sold out Royal Albert Hall 3 times, the 3 nights in a row.
Wow.
A Grammy Award winner, and apparently he was a chef in Brooklyn, so we'll have lots to talk about.
I bet he knows how to make what we're making today.
What are we making today?
Buttermilk chicken. It's very American.
Is buttermilk chicken very American?
Quite American, yeah.
We don't really use buttermilk that much.
No.
But our buttermilk chicken isn't actually, it's not fried. It's not like got a
It's not like a batter made out of buttermilk, no.
I've had that in London.
This is baked buttermilk.
It's like roasted, isn't it?
Yeah.
But we've been marinating it for...
2 days. A day and a half.
Day and a half. With rosemary and garlic. And we're going to serve it with spring onion. Well, they call them scallions here. Spring onion mash with parmesan. And then Mum's done one of her best salads. It's this Brussels sprout salad with...
cheddar cheese and hazelnuts and a yellow mustard dressing.
American mustard. Yellow American mustard. Yeah. And it's so delicious. So that's what we've got. And then my brother has been slaving in the kitchen today, probably because I told him off because he was having too much of a good time. And he is pudding bae. So he's done a pecan pie, which I wished I'd just got that whipping cream, because they have the squirty cream here, don't they?
Well, go and get some.
No, I don't think I need it, Mum. We're going for Korean barbecue later.
Okay.
So we've got vanilla ice cream instead.
But it's nice with vanilla ice cream. It's a la mode. That's what they say in America. Well, that's what they call it. If you have ice cream on any pie, they call it apple pie a la mode. A la mode.
Do they?
Yeah.
Okay, please say that to Gregory when we're in there.
I'm going to.
Gregory Porter coming up on Table Manners New York. Gregory Porter, thank you so much for being here.
Yeah,
too excited.
I'm really touched that you remembered meeting me or seeing me before, because honestly, if I could tell you what a big deal this is for me, my husband is gutted we're not doing this in London. He loves you so much. We listen to you all the time.
Wow.
So it's such a pleasure.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I even after, you know, all this time now, and after, you know, selling a lot of records, I'm always fascinated where the music finds its place, where it settles, because it's so diverse in terms of the people that like my music. sometimes it's young people, it's older people, it's professionals, it's people I have, you know, intelligentsia, it's, you know, rockers, people who listen to punk music. So it's just like, wow, I'm always, and it's always genuine when I say wow, because I'm like, yeah, they're not hearing me, and yes, they are.
So I mean, cool. You do have the most fantastic voice.
Gorgeous.
And yeah. I want to ask, you drink Coca-Cola and you drink whiskey. Do you do anything to look after your voice? Because I heard this thing that John Legend eats chicken wings before he goes on stage and it greases up his vocal cords. Yeah. Now me being like a neurotic Jew is like, I'm drinking tepid water and no ice and no carbonated water. So do you have any tricks?
I suspect all of that, it's based on the individual voice. You know, people used to say, oh, don't drink milk or eat cheese or... But none of that bothers me.
Really? Lucky.
Only thing that bothers me is like if I'm really, really cold before a performance.
Okay.
But no, I do try not to eat right before a show. In France, you know how it is. None of the kitchens are open. You can't get food from 4, 5, 6.
And that's when you need to eat, really.
That's when you need to eat, because I like to have, like, you know, 3 hours before I go to the stage, right? So they had, so in France, they were always feeding me like at 8 o'clock for an 8:30 show, you know, and it was just ridiculous. So, you know, my first few times to France, I was like, okay, I have to be respectful. I have to eat this good food. You know, I don't want to waste this food. And I was getting on stage. Just like, you know, hey, Laura, it's me. You know, I was like, this is craziness. So I just stopped doing that. But aside from not eating, no, I don't really have any rules. I do milk and cheese. I do like a very light thing before I go on stage, maybe a little salad. And I don't follow any of the rules. No.
So you're quite rock and roll, Gregory.
Mm.
For a jazzy, you're quite rock and roll.
I've been known to be that way at a time or two, yes.
I want to know, so you were brought up in, you were born in California?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You have 8 siblings? Are there 8 of you?
Yeah, there's 8 of us, 5 boys and 3 girls.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Are you the oldest? Or?
No, I'm the 7th of 8.
The 7th, number 7.
Yeah.
And then some baby came along and pipped
you. Yeah, you know, just, you know, Dion, get him out of here.
Dion.
and then you moved over here.
I moved to...
Or have you been to a few different places before you landed here?
Yeah, well, I went to college in San Diego, which is in Southern California.
What did you study?
I studied city planning.
Wow.
Which has nothing to do with music. But yeah, you know, it is what it is. But I minored in music, but, you know, it wasn't a hardcore institution for music. But I was doing theater. I was doing odd jobs. I was a chef. I was a masseuse. I used to do the most horrible jobs you can think of. And so I was traveling around, primarily doing theater. Mm-hmm. And at some point I said, wait a minute, even though I'm using my voice, I'm not using it in the most direct and most specific and most direct way to people's hearts and ears that it could be. Mm-hmm. So I had to put theater down and focus just on music and concentrate on music. At first, because, you know, I was doing theater and people asking me, you know, where's your record? And I was like, I haven't done it, or nobody's looked at me and found me and made me yet.
But were you doing musical theater, or were you doing...
Both.
Oh, right.
Both, I was doing both. Mostly musical theater.
But hold on, you got in on a scholarship for football.
Football,
so,
yeah.
So you can do everything.
a polymath. But you're super tall. I didn't realize how tall you were when you performed, because you're kind of... What height are you?
6'4". I don't know what you'd call that in the UK. Well, you guys go inches, yeah.
Yeah, six, we four. Do. Four. Yeah, yeah. But so... How old were you when you decided to take up music seriously, I guess?
Well, I loved music, and I love the idea of doing music yeah. as a career. I loved that idea when I was five.
Yeah.
You know, loved Michael Jackson, Stevie Wonder, and I was, it just seemed so far in the stratosphere. It seemed so impossible that I never thought it could be. My mother used to say things like that. You know, she's like, you're gonna use that voice, you know. And I'd be like, Mom, you're just talking again. And she would say things like, oh, you're gonna perform at the Royal Albert Hall, and you know, just she would say these far out places that were famous, Carnegie Hall. You're gonna do this. She was a Christian and a minister. She's like, oh, you'll do the Crystal Cathedral. These are all, you know, places.
Did you sing in church choir?
I sang in church. But, you know, my brothers and sisters, we were a little singing group. You know, nothing famous.
Oh, and you were like the Jacksons. You had a little sweet singing group.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Basically, so we were having fun that way. But I didn't think it was a possible thing. But after college, after injuring my shoulder, and I started to go to jazz jam sessions, I just started to really sing everywhere that I could. And people were really affected by my voice and my delivery. I started to think about it then, but really I was thinking about it still on a small level. I was like, yeah, it'd be great if I could press up a CD and maybe sell 5,000 over 10 years, you know. This is the way I was thinking. But then, you know, I started to, once I finally focused on music and concentrated and cultivated my band and my sound and what it is that I wanted to say, once I lived life and I realized that I could sing about my mama and I could sing about some of the ups and downs of love that I had already had, once I realized that my little personal story was also a universal story, I realized, oh, okay, I do have something to say. So then I was like, okay, then I should write my own songs. And, you know, once I did that, then, you know, I went to a record label, you know, the ball started rolling.
But you've got a gorgeous speaking voice as well. It's beautiful.
You can be everything. You can kind of, but also, actually, just to cut in, I hear you've got a podcast starting.
Yeah, we're trying to take over the podcast world.
Oh, no, yeah, no. How's that going?
Well, you know, once I knock you off your block, then... no.
Tell me what it's about, then. What has it started yet? Have you started recording
yet? No, we're at the ground level. We're just formulating the guests and the thoughts. No, it'll be... very much about music and life, because, you know, as I look at you and I look at you here with your mama, that's it. I'm constantly, the things that I do in my life, things that I love, are constantly colored and seasoned by the life that I had with my mother. She's passed now, but in the music, the things that people love, the things that the 19-year-olds are dancing to, don't know that was a message from me to, from my mother to me. Liquid Spirit was my mother's sermon.
Liquid Spirit.
Unreroute the river, let the damn water be. There's some people down the way that's thirsty, so let the liquid spirit free. It's my poetry, but it is her message to me. She was like, love wants to go there, bam, hit it. Love wants to go like directly to the heart, you know. So find the path, the most direct path to give love and receive love. And so this was a message she gave to me, and I took it and put it into song form. When I make I was a chef, and so when I make a great soup or some warm dish and I put it in front of somebody, it's been seasoned by my mother, you know. I developed my ability to taste with my hands from my mother, and so by cooking with her for years. And so she's there. And I want to talk about those things in my podcast, because it's part of the art, it's part of the life, the way you think about life
So talking about home and your mother, who passed away, how old were you when she passed away?
I was 20.
That's young.
Yeah, I was young.
It's a very hard time to lose your mum, I think.
It is,
as you're on the brink of kind of real adulthood.
Yeah. Now, This is an interesting thing. I didn't feel, I was like, after she passed, I was like, this is, you know, you feel like you're on the island and you're the only person that something bad is happening to.
Of course. Yeah.
And this is sounds odd, but I was reading the paper and started to read about the other people who had lost someone close to them. And in a way, it didn't make me feel better. It just made me feel like I'm not the only one. And even that made me want to feel her more. And I started to even think about her death in a more positive way, in a way. Just, you know.
How old was she when she passed
away? She was 54.
She's so young.
Very young, and breast cancer. And so it was difficult. But, you know, she lived we lived such a dynamic life with 8 kids. And, you know, I can laugh about it now, but the finances going up and down. Sometimes we had money, sometimes we had nothing. But the things that we did, the places that we went, it was so rich and so
dynamic. Was your dad around?
My dad didn't raise me, and he wasn't involved in my life, and which is another thing that's very much in all of my music. You know, this last record, you know, Nat King Cole and me, if I'm going to make another record, I should probably make another Liquid Spirit, you know? that has some guaranteed formulas. But I went to the music of my childhood. I went to the music that soothed me in the absence of my father. I went to Nat King Cole's music, which my mother said when I was 6, she said, I made a little song on a tape recorder. And she said, boy, you sound like Nat King Cole. And that drew me to, you know, play his records. And when I did that, you know, this sound and this warmth and this rich warmth came through the speakers. And I used to imagine Nat King Cole as my father based on a vinyl.
Oh, wow.
You know, that's the power of music.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love the story and I love understanding why Nat King Cole, you were attracted to his voice, but you both have your voices are like Christmas. They really are. I'm sure people have said that to you before, but like, it's just like, I want you in my ear all the time when I'm a little low and unsure about something. But this podcast is kind of, it revolves around food.
Yeah.
And I kind of brought my mum into it.
Yeah,
her unbeknownst, awesome. She didn't understand what a podcast was. And I said, Mum, you're going to cook dinner for people who are going to come over and we're going to talk about food memories. And, you know, I want to hear a bit about you and your mum in the kitchen and learning to cook through watching her. How was she? What kind of cook was she? What was she cooking?
Yeah, okay. Well, cooking for me, my putting my hands on even a knife and food really started early. I have a sister who's 3 years older than me. There's the older group, and then there's the younger group of kids. Mm-hmm. And so the younger group of kids is myself, my brother Lloyd, who's a year older than me, and my sister LaWanda, who's 3 years older than me. Everything that she did, the other two boys did.
Right.
So when she started to cook at 9, I started at 6.
Right.
So we would ruin my mother's counter. We would get up on a chair and we would slice potatoes with the sharpest knife in the house, which is always dull. But we would slice them into rounds. We sliced the potatoes into rounds and put them on their side. And then we would hold the potato and make the little ribbons, chips you call them in the UK.
Yeah.
But we would make the ribbons. And I remember, this is the crazy part, which is a little dangerous, but we handled the grease ourselves. We put the grease, the oil into the pan, turned
six
on the fire.
6 years old.
I was 6. My sister was 9 and very tall.
Yeah.
Yes, there was other grown teenagers around us, but but I remember the stove is here, dropping the French fries in the oil.
And the sizzle.
And I remember, nothing happened, but I just remember doing it. I think about it now.
You wouldn't let your son do it.
My son is 5 now. Would I let him cook in a year?
Hell no.
No. But I did it and I loved it. That was just our childhood experience jumping into cooking. But we were always helping my mother in the kitchen. But the big thing for me that really changed my thought about cooking was my mother came home very tired. She worked, always worked two jobs. And she brought home a leg of lamb and said, Gregory, do something with that for me and put it in the oven. I was 13, and I don't know where I got the knowledge from, but probably from watching her and just over the time. I was totally comfortable and knew exactly what to do. I took a knife, trimmed the fat off the leg of lamb, poked the lamb, sliced some garlic, and stuffed the garlic into the holes, seasoned it with rosemary, oregano, salt and pepper, put it in the oven, and 4 hours later, just by happenstance, it came out perfect.
Wow.
And my mother wakes up from her nap after coming home from night work and early morning work, and when she wakes up, the leg of lamb is just kicking throughout the house, and I pull it out of the oven, she's so happy, and it was like I was... You know, it's like that time when I was, 6 or 7 or 8, and I would sing a song for her. And the funny thing is about when you have, when there's 8 kids in the house, you have to find a way to become special, you know? And so my sister was, she was artistic, and my brother was a bit of a whiner, and I was a singer. But we all had our mm-hmm. So to catch her attention, it was my singing. And the second thing that caught her attention was food. So I pulled this leg of lamb out of the oven and she was like, oh, Gregory, this is wonderful. And I remember her slicing a piece of it. It's like, boy, this is wonderful. And then she keeps eating it. And I'm like, bang, this is another way to get into my mother's heart. And so then I became really interested in cooking. So I started to, everything she was doing, I was doing. From just how to make mashed potatoes wonderful to how to make sweet potato pies, we did everything. We did everything. We cooked everything.
So she was a good cook.
She was a good cook.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Gregory, we've done buttermilk chicken with rosemary and garlic, but roasted, so it hasn't got a batter. Uh-huh. And then we've done mashed potatoes with, you call them scallions here, don't you? But I don't think they're going to be as good as your mama's because I don't have a mash. So you may find a little lump and bump in there with parmesan.
It sounds wonderful.
And then mum's done this shaved...
about? Look at that. That's incredible.
Oh, it's all right.
I don't like it completely smooth.
Oh, really?
I like it just broken up a bit. Okay. I like it to have little bits of potato.
Okay, well, you will be getting that.
Okay, yeah,
and then we've got the shaved Brussels sprout salad that mum puts... like a sharp cheddar in it, cheese, and with hazelnuts and yellow mustard. American mustard dressing.
So it's fresh Brussels sprouts?
Yes, so they're raw.
Awesome.
So it's almost like a coleslaw.
Oh, you guys are on the cutting edge.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Wonderful.
You have a son that you've talked about. Are you married?
I am. Yeah, my wife. I met my wife 13 years ago in Moscow.
Oh, wow.
She's Russian.
Yeah.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we met in Moscow and we stayed friends for years, 5 years. And I was in a relationship, so was she, but it was all decent. I mean, she had broken up with her person, and I had, unbeknownst to each other. And just out of the blue, she says, I'm coming to New York, and I need a tour guide. And I was like, okay, yeah, you know, being a tour guide can be a drag sometimes.
Not when a beautiful Russian lady is coming
but right, when I was like, oh yeah, I remember you. But she came and we had such a great time. We laughed and we walked and I even saw New York in a different way, which kind of made me say, okay, that's probably love if you're looking at the Empire State Building in a different way, you know. So, yeah.
And what does she do?
She's an artist, but back in Russia, she had a television show. She was interviewing different celebrities and critiquing films. Mm-hmm. And so I took her away from all of that. And she's an artist, but she does paintings. And we actually have an art show today.
Oh, wow.
In Brooklyn, yeah.
Her exhibiting her stuff?
Yeah, she's exhibiting.
That's amazing.
A little space in Brooklyn. And all of my friends are going to come over. My birthday was a couple of days ago.
Happy belated.
So we're going to have a little birthday party, a little art show, family reunion. My brother is here and all my friends. So, yeah.
I wanted to ask about your brother because I read that you worked in your brother's restaurant, Breadsty.
Yeah.
Which is no longer right there, but is that the brother you're talking about? Is he still in Brooklyn?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And is he doing? Is he still being a chef? Like.
He is. He's still, his wife is a pastry chef. They still do, but they do commercial now. It's mm-hmm. not, they don't have a shop that's open to the public. So they supply to restaurants and little shops fresh baked goods.
Was that what was then, I guess, with bread style?
Yeah, it was everything. It was like, you know, they did, you know, food and also cafe fare, coffee.
Mm-hmm. Why did you get the gig? Was it because he remembered how good you were in the kitchen with your mum?
No. His chef quit.
Okay.
His chef quit, and he was determined not to have me involved in his business. But this was the funny thing. I had nothing to do the day that his chef quit, and he had nothing to put in the shelves. No soup, no salads, no nothing to, you know how they do in New York. There's a big, mm-hmm. there's a counter, a refrigerated cabinet. There's nothing in there. So I came in and in a couple of hours time, I filled his refrigerator with tasty, different, unusual things. And I did that and he was like, He was, you know, he tried to act unimpressed. And both him and his wife tried to act unimpressed. And they were like, well, can you do that tomorrow? Because all of the food sold out that day.
Amazing.
Yeah.
So do you remember what was on the menu? Do you even remember what the kind of things were you making?
Mm-hmm. I made a chicken curry salad. Carrots, raisin.
Lovely.
Roasted chicken breast. And we put it all together. It's about 10 other different ingredients, but we put it together. And it was a hit. So then I started in making soups. I made the soups, and literally to this day, people in the neighborhood still know me as the soup man.
Oh, my God. Why? But your soups are notorious.
Though. Yeah, the soups were pretty great.
What was the kind of bestseller?
My black bean turkey chili.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Indian food was the first food that I ever cooked. I worked for Deepak Chopra and did a little work in his kitchen in California just after college. So I made this cream of curry chicken with spinach, and which was, you know, people, I was like, it was a mouthful to say, but give me that curry thing.
That's amazing because a lot of Americans don't really know how to do curry.
Yeah.
Especially in California. I don't really know that many spots I'm sure there's more in New York, but...
Yeah, there's definitely more in New York.
That's so... So you're a chef. You are a chef. You're everything.
It kind of just happened, you know? I didn't...
We ask everyone what would be... Mum has an issue with me saying Last Supper. So we could say Desert Island Dinner.
She would say if you're on death row.
Yeah.
But it makes me so upset.
Well, she is a little bit rock and roll, you know?
Oh, yeah. Well. So... Starter, main, pud.
Mmm.
And anything in between.
Now, this is so funny. Starter, main, pud. That's only because I've been going to the UK. I know what the hell you're talking about.
I know, sorry, because everyone says dessert, don't they? So.
Wow, really love just like really fresh starters. So I like, I would love a shrimp. Okay. An avocado salad.
Okay.
Throw some mangoes in there if you
Lovely.
Would.
Lovely.
Fresh herbs I like. Maybe we'd have some basil. But I like the juxtaposition of sweet and savory. So the mango and the shrimp and the astringent of like maybe a rosemary or a basil. Maybe we toss a little mint in there. I like the juxtaposition of things that seem like they don't go together, but they absolutely do.
Okay.
Okay, that's my starter. I've been into like these long roasted meats here lately. So either we do a pork belly or a pork shoulder. This is a fatty thing, but you know, cook it for a long time, or even for that matter, I'm sorry. I'm acting like I have many, many choices. The
you
one
do.
Thing I oh I do.
You do.
Okay,
but
so
you,
then
look, I want to hear everything. It's fine.
Okay, so then you could do either if you don't like the pork, then do a short rib, something along this long cooking meat. Go ahead and when you put the meat in and you put the bay leaf and you put the rosemary in, go ahead and pour a little good wine. Mm-hmm. On top of all of that, before you put it in the oven and braise it. Yeah, for pudding, I'll have to, I mean, you guys...
What sides are you having with your short rib?
Oh, I gotta have, well, with short ribs, you gotta have great garlic mashed potato.
Okay.
And let's do just a simple green, a spinach. Yeah, spinach.
Simple.
Yeah, nothing to get in the way. Just really beautiful.
Okay. I love short ribs.
Yeah, short ribs are my... I really love that. Now...
Would you like some water, by the way? Or would you like another bit of...
I'll have a little of that sparkling water. That'd be great. I've realized as I go around the world, there are people who have stolen your idea for sticky toffee pudding.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Did you first have it in the UK?
The official one. When I saw it on the menu, I was laughing about it.
Why?
Because you guys like these names. You like these
Spotted
descriptive...
Dick.
Right. You love these descriptive names. You like them.
Like,
you know, if it has blood in it, you love saying blood.
Oh.
Americans
do
don't
we?
Do that. Yeah,
well, like black pudding, do you mean?
Yeah, what, I mean, like... you love, like, if it's... Like, if it's a black spotted hen, that's what you'll call it on the plate.
Oh, right, okay.
We don't, the Americans don't do that.
You just say
you
chicken.
Say, yeah, no, breast of, you know.
Yeah, you always give the geography of the meat. So it's always Cornish hen.
Right.
Or something.
Right, we do.
New Maine oysters or.
Right,
you, yeah.
Right,
so
we
you
do
always
that.
Know the geography of where mm-hmm. it's going to come from.
But you guys like if it's bloody or sticky or
we
mashy.
Tell you.
Or you like.
Never ever heard
you
that.
You guys
this is
love
so
grotesquery.
Good.
You love it. You love it. I mean, in all of your descriptions, in some of the songs, in some of the... I was walking by a building the other day when I was in the UK. And it was just like, home for single women.
What, like the hostel?
Yeah, it was. This was the name of the building. And in chiseled into the stone was home...
Very unusual in the old days for women to live separately.
Right.
So it would be like one of those kind of religious temperance places where women had to come to work away. So it would be the home for single women.
Right.
They would work for the government or right. the civil service or right. something.
They wouldn't do that here. You would call it...
Hide you.
We would call it... Brimington House. You live there. Oh, that's
yeah,
one,
we've
of,
got,
oh, one of those.
Yeah. We've got a place called the Hospital for Incurables.
Yeah.
Do they?
Yeah, in Putney.
Oh, we do?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I'm talking about.
Quite depressing, that.
It is quite depressing. We're a miserable bunch. So you're going for a sticky toffee pudding?
A sticky toffee pudding? Man, I haven't found nothing that just like is that dope recently. It's just so
See,
good.
Alex could have done that.
Shit. So I want to know, there was this really great quote about you talking about cooking and about how, you know, you feel like it should be made with love.
Yeah.
And you talk about Gordon Ramsay. And you say, you know, I like respect to him, whatever, but I don't understand, you know, he shouts and...
Yeah.
We've tried to be very calm during this meeting, but we do shout at each other. Mum, would you say that all your food is made with love whilst doing this podcast?
No. I did for Gregory, though.
Of course, yes. Table manners. This podcast is called Table Manners. I feel like I know the answer, but do you believe you've got good table manners?
Mm. You know, I used to really consider these things. This, you know... It used to trouble me about the you know, eating soup. You're supposed to go this way?
Oh, yeah.
Huh?
Right.
That bothers me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what I like about...
Why are you supposed to go that way with soup?
Doesn't matter.
Does anyone know?
Maybe you won't splash it so much. I don't know.
Yeah, but then you've got further away when you pick it up because you're going from where you are outwards and then you've got to pick it up and then you've got more soup to carry in the air. Yeah, it's actually very stupid.
It seems a bit wrong, but, you know... If they're the Queen's rules, I don't want to get in the way of those rules. But my thought is, if somebody is enjoying themselves, I think that's pretty cool.
Sure.
I used to get on my brother so much. He would slice a steak with his knife and his fork, and then he'd take the piece of steak and pick it up with his finger. And I was like, stop doing that. But then I was like, he's enjoying himself. Do what you do, man. It's okay. You know? But my mother... She would. She was always, in a way, preparing us for royalty. She was just like, Gregory, your talent will make room for you at the table of royalty. And when you get there, this is what you should do, right?
She really believed
in
you.
I love her.
Yeah, yeah. She was, you know, I think about it now, and it's just like, oh, my goodness. We used to laugh at it. It's like, man, what are you talking about? Ain't nobody going to be at, you know, Carnegie Hall, you know. And so my sold-out show last year at Carnegie Hall was like,
emotional.
Mom, right? She had all of these, you know, showing us how to do things and you know, how to be.
Have you got to eat with royalty yet?
I think having a cocktail, you know, is fair
that
as well.
Counts.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I was.
Who did
with?
You have a cocktail?
Yeah,
well,
I was invited to Buckingham Palace and.
Amazing.
Yeah, Prince Philip was.
How did he look?
Good. This was 3, maybe 4 years ago now.
What were you invited there for?
They were having the children's charity.
Okay.
Event. But there were no children around.
Was it the Prince's Trust thing? Or was it Prince?
Yes.
Prince of Wales, Prince's Trust. Right, got it.
Yes.
Got it.
So there was all these dignitaries and several royals. At the time, I didn't know who everybody was.
No. You know? Now that you've watched The Crown, you probably were like, have you watched The Crown yet? You need to. So your mum actually did get that right, didn't
Yeah.
You?
Would you like some dessert?
Yeah. Yeah, I'd love it. Oh, wonderful.
Right.
Did you know I love pecan pie?
Have you finished
pie?
There, Gregory? I'm
no.
sorry. Are you finished? Do you like pecan
on.
Pie?
Hold on. Oh, yeah, this is really funny. Yeah, I'm just like, did I request this? Yeah, I love pecan pie. Yeah.
You didn't request it, but I'm really glad that you like pecan
yeah.
pie.
Yeah.
We don't know if it's any good, so
Jessie,
I'm sure it's great.
Your
I'm sure
brother
it's great.
Cooks the best.
I'm sure it's great.
Gregory, how much?
Right there is perfect. Oh, and you got the vanilla, girl!
Okay, well, yeah, I don't have whipped cream, though. I'm sorry.
Vanilla ice cream is all right.
Yeah, well, Mum said that in America,
they call it a la mode.
A la mode.
Why do they say a la mode?
We're trying to be French. Yeah, we're trying to be French.
But
yeah.
Why does that only apply to ice cream?
Jessie, do you want
Mum seems to think it's a la mode when there's a
when
bit of ice cream on the top.
When you have a pie and ice cream on the top.
Yeah, that's there
a
you go.
A la mode, yeah.
Would you like some ice cream?
Yes, please.
Okay.
Everyone likes ice cream on pecan pie.
I wanted to know, you lived in Brooklyn.
Brooklyn, yeah, best.
We talked a bit about it, but like you... You must have some food spots that when you're here...
Mm.
Sorry, that's the Nespresso in the back.
Mm-hmm, right.
You must have some spots that you take. Like, is there one that you take your wife to or you have, you know...
We have a spot that we really love. I think the first time when she came on that trip 13 yeah. years ago, I took her to this spot called Moto. It's in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
I mean, you go past it and you're just like, that must be like a transmission repair shop.
Okay.
You know, it's in the, you know, in the cut in Brooklyn. And underneath a train, it's very unglamorous.
Yeah.
But you walk through the doors, and it's just this charming space that, you know, you look like you walked into 1936 on the outskirts of town, Paris, you know?
Mm.
Yeah, it has that kind of vibe. Moto is the theme, because there's a bunch of, throughout the restaurant, which is very small, it's bicycles.
So is it French restaurant?
It themed. Nothing themed. In America is very, you know, anything.
Okay.
so they make your sticky toffee pudding
okay.
there, but they call it a date cake.
Okay.
Yes, but they it's sticky toffee pudding.
And that was your date spot that you went to.
That was the date spot,
and that sealed the deal.
That sealed the deal. She was like. She had...
He might need a fork, darling.
She had great wine. I think I'm okay with this.
You're yeah. okay? Mm-hmm. I'm going to have to shove it under my hand.
She had a great day. And yeah, she was like, I could do this all the time.
And you used to sing in Harlem.
Mm-hmm.
I bet there's some good food spots up there.
Yeah. This place by Red Rooster, where they're mixing music in the basement, and a great restaurant up top, Red Rooster. What's his first name? Marcus Samuelson. He's the executive chef there and owner. That's an amazing place. Sylvia's Soul Food.
And that's in Harlem?
That's in Harlem. You know, for me, like, I'm always still trying to find the mom and pop places. For me, that's what Harlem was. There was a little spot on the corner that used to fry fish. And the fish was always fresh, and they would just... You know, they would just give you like two pieces of fish and way too many French fries spilling off your plate. And it was just great. But rent got too high, and then that guy went away. And then something slick came in. You know, people get excited about a Starbucks. But if the Starbucks supplants this interesting place that's been there for years, you know, it's a bit sad, you know.
Do you want some more ice cream?
Yeah, would you?
I'm okay.
It's very good pie.
It's good pie.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good balance. It's not too oversweet.
No, it's good. Alex did a good job.
Mm-hmm.
It's such a pleasure to meet you properly, because yeah. I've always appreciated you from afar.
Yeah.
And to hear your stories and the yeah. fact that you are, the way you talk about food
yeah.
and family and everything, it's just the most perfect combination for us to have had you on Table Manners. So I really, really appreciate it.
Thank you, man.
What a voice, Mum.
Like liquid gold.
He should put out like a meditation app or something, shouldn't he? He just sing you to sleep.
Yeah, it was beautiful.
We've had two really good voices in this week.
So good. What, Zachary's
and now, yeah.
That was so interesting. He had so much to talk about.
He had a proper soul.
Yeah. So much soul.
He did have so much soul.
And his mum sounded so lovely.
His mum's dying at 54. I just thought that he was just so warm and a positive person.
Yes.
And a kind person.
Yes.
You just knew he was a good person.
I tried to really hold down like our bickering today, because I just felt like Gregory wouldn't have appreciated that.
No, he wouldn't.
Mum, are you too tired to go and get a Cosmo?
Yes. I don't think I want Cosmo at 20 to 4, Jessica.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
There's sunset somewhere,
okay.
Mum.
Yeah, maybe.
Does that pick you up, pep you up?
Pep me up a bit, actually.
Should we go and be Carrie Bradshaw?
Yeah.
Table Manners music you have been enjoying is by Pete Fraser and Peter Duffy. And our dear editor and producer is Alice Williams.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
It's the question that's on everyone's mind. How do you live a good life? Is it about work, health, or relationships? What about happiness, meaning, and money? What really matters? And how can you dramatically improve all of these things? These are the questions we explore every week on the top-ranked podcast, Good Life Project, hosted by award-winning author and perpetual seeker, Jonathan Fields, which also happens to be me. Every week, I sit down with world-renowned researchers, experts, and scions of art and industry on the Good Life Project podcast. This week, in fact, we're sharing a fantastic conversation with the author, Elizabeth Gilbert, about a single practice that changed her life. Listen to the Good Life Project podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.